Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it is Loveline. Ooh, I'm hearing a delay in my headphone here. It's Dr. Drew. This will not work at all, Chris. I'm hearing my voice about a second after I say something. Nothing but technical problems tonight. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew, and on the phone is Adam Carolla.
Oh, it's great to be a guest on my own show.
Can you hear me? Oh, Adam, you there?
Yes, I am.
There you are.
What's happening?
You tell me, what's happening?
Well, I'm out here in Tampa, Florida, and you know the thing that's weird is I've been watching the news, and they've been talking about L.A. like it's a tsunami area, you know?
It's Armageddon.
That's what they've been saying, and it's really weird because you're used to watching the news and hearing all the wild reports about other cities when you're at home, but it's weird when you travel and you hear about your city floating
away. Explain to people why you're traveling first. All I gave them so far is the phone number. So what are you doing?
Sorry there, brother, man. I'm in Tampa doing a commercial. It's a long story, but I went to a flea market in like rural Tampa this morning, and every stereotype about the South put a zero behind it.
Bring it to life.
Oh, my God. I swear to Christ, I saw a four-year-old who had one eyebrow. I mean it.
And a mullet?
Like a four-stage mullet and like a serious stubble between the eyes from the shaving mom gave her.
Nice.
It's crazy over here. It's like deliverance.
Well, now, why are you on a phone?
Ah, okay. Well, that's
okay. Yeah, this is where the story gets good.
Okay, Drew and I both have these magical devices called Zephyrs. They're like little
radio
attaché cases that let you broadcast from wherever you go. They're expensive and heavy, but worth it, as you can tell.
Yes.
I dragged this thing out to Tampa. Anyway, it requires a special phone line. They swore up and down. It was in my room. What was that?
What?
Even when I checked and double-checked and...
Is he talking now? Well,
can
I can't hear him.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Keep going. There you go.
Sorry.
What is going on tonight?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Long story short, the special line for my special device that they swore up and down was in my room is not in my room.
Tell them specifically the story about that you had this afternoon talking to them down at the desk. You asked them, can I talk to a technician?
Yeah. Well, I had a chick answer the phone when I called the desk to double-check. I had this special ISDN line in my room. And I call me old-fashioned. I don't trust chicks on the phone, especially when they're in a hurry.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, and I did that move where I was trying to be polite because I don't want to be condescending. But I did that, can I speak to a technician, please? And then she gave me that, well, what do you need? And this is when it's frightening because you're like, I don't want to tell you what I need. I want to talk to a technician. But she's like, just tell me what you need. And I said, I need to know if there's an ISDN line in my room. And she said, absolutely. And I said, it's not a high-speed computer line. It's an ISDN line. And she said, you got it. And then I apologize for being condescending. That's the part that hurts me the most.
Yes, yes.
Because the one time I apologized, now I'm going to have to go down there and strangle her tomorrow.
Just to make up for it.
Just to make up. I want my apology back. I have like I use like three a year, and I wasted one on you.
Oh, no.
So I had the technician come up here about an hour ago. And by the way, it was great because this guy's like Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, he comes up here with his tool chest, and he looks at my... my Zephyr, and he just goes, what the hell kind of computer is that?
No.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, here, you know, I mean, they think, you know, they're not into technology. Like, they think, you know, if they won't take a picture with you because they think it steals your soul. So the guy just looked at me and shook his head, and then he gave me one of these. He goes, You know this one? And how is it? You know when people answer, you know, they answer this way, like, do you have an ISDN line? Yep. Where is it? It's in the banquet room. Great, let's go down there. It's locked.
Oh.
Like, okay, why do we have to... Does it have to be such a like painful vivisection that goes
right,
on, or can
right.
you just say it's not accessible, sir?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we can keep yeah. going and going.
Yes, they got to drag it out just to give you every bit of it as painful as possible.
Right, and
why is there a security guard to open up so you can get in there?
Well, even if I get in there, I don't know what to do once I get in there.
Well, I can talk you through it.
You know the late night staff that rolls into hotels.
Oh yes, the dead, living dead.
Oh my God! I mean, you know, call down to the front desk at like noon, and you get the guy with the English accent.
Yes.
You know, this is Sir Rothschild. You call down at 2 a.m, you get Luanda, and you can hear her tapping her nails in the background, and she's like, ISBM line. No, ISDN. BM? It's like, all right. Okay.
Yeah, because we do this.
From DeVry.
Because we do these late night shows, you and I get exposed to the last shift when we come right. home. We go to this radio show. Because you're in different time zones. It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good times.
Oh, you know what else is going down here? Daytona. It's NASCAR weekend. So I found out at 12:30. This ain't going to happen. I'm not going to be able to get this thing hooked up. So what's my first thought? All right, I'm going to hit the mini bar.
Oh, so you've been getting loaded.
No, not yet.
Oh.
So I go open the mini bar.
Forgive me.
There's no mini bar.
Oh.
So I said, I need my medicine. I need a nice glass of red wine. So I go, and I haven't drank it yet. So I go down to the bar, and I'm like, all right, I got 20 minutes before we go on the air. I'm going to sneak down to the bar. I'm on the 23rd floor. I'm going to get a glass of red wine. I'm going to put some cellophane on it. I'm going to bring it back up to the room, you know? I can sip my medicine.
Yeah,
I only pray to Christ I don't run into some drunken Loveline fan.
No.
Sure enough, there's a guy down here from Daytona. He's down here for Daytona. He's a huge, who the hell just won today? Not Junior, but Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon won?
Jeff Gordon won today.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
He's wearing a Jeff Gordon jacket.
Oh, boy.
He is lit. I mean, this guy is in the bag. He naturally recognizes me, comes over. He's screaming at his girlfriend and just knocked over.
Do you know
drink.
Who this is?
Yeah. He has me sign a $1 bill and a $50 bill and then start screaming it ain't worth $50 anymore. And he's lit. And he like wants to take a picture. And I'm like, I got to get back up to the room. Oh, and then there's that, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Almighty.
Big shot. Yeah. Don't have time for the little people.
Did he really break into that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he's
so obnoxious.
He's obnoxious, and then he's explained to me how a guy at the end of the bar, he's convinced him that he's one of Dale's pit crew. And it's NASCAR fever out here,
yeah,
by
it's
the
crazy.
Way.
Yeah.
People are insane for NASCAR.
Well, do you
well
wanna,
actually,
do you,
they're just insane,
yeah.
and they like NASCAR.
You sort of said the same thing two different ways.
Yeah.
Do you want to stay on the line here and take a couple calls? Do you want to call it a night? What do you want to do?
Well, how's it? Can you punch up some calls?
Let me see. Can Dave, we put up line two there? Speaking of ISBM line. There's Rachel. Let's see if you can hear this. Rachel?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what's happening?
All right, here we go. Go right to it.
So I have a really bizarre question. I've been dating the same guy for 8 months, right? And he's a great guy. Everything's wonderful. I have a four-month rule that you can't have sex until you've been together for 4 months. And we started having sex, and every time he comes, he craps himself.
He cracks himself? Craps
poo-poo.
Himself?
Poo-poo.
He craps himself, like all over himself.
All over? Not just a little sort of streak, but he's really
no,
goes to town?
No, like he like craps all over himself.
This is bogus.
I swear to you, I swear on everything, it is not bogus. It's the weirdest thing in the world. He won't go to the doctor because he's never had that problem before.
Wait a minute, does he, like, have irritable bowel syndrome? Is it diarrhea?
No, he's never had this problem.
He doesn't
crap yourself solid.
Yeah, a solid bowel movement?
Well, I mean, it's solid too. I mean, it's not like runny diarrhea or anything, but it's, I mean, it's solid. It's kind of,
it comes out like Play-Doh through an extruder.
Well, kind of, sort of. It's nasty. It's just like taking a crap in a toilet. It just comes out every time he comes.
Well, that's an expression of his love, and if you can't see that, then I feel sorry for you.
Well, it's actually
a gift. He to crap himself.
He leaves a gift.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Do you know how many times I've had to buy, like, a new mattress now?
A new mattress?
Yeah, like I had to buy a new mattress. It got so bad.
Well, listen, different guys have different calling cards. I used to leave a rose by the pillow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
a crap every time your girlfriend makes you come.
Rachel, so how often do you guys have sex?
No way.
Before I really got annoyed by this whole situation, it was like twice a week. And now it's like not at all.
And how many times did he actually do this?
Every single time.
How many times? Or we're going to hang up.
Okay, that's 2, 4, 6, 8. I don't know, at least like 15 to 20 times.
I thought she was going to break into the world's worst cheer.
2, 4, 6, 8.
Absolutely horrible.
That sounds awful.
All right, Drew, hold on.
If it's true.
Drew, put her on hold. Let's huddle for a sec.
Okay. Well, it puts you on hold too, unfortunately. Can you hold? Let's pull Adam up here. Adam?
There?
Yes. When I put her on hold, I put you on hold too. So.
Suggestion. All right, I've been doing this show like 9.5 years.
Yeah.
We've never really legitimately heard this.
Not from the women, very occasionally have with a woman, a little bit. Because there's a little bit more sort of rationale for it. There's something in there pushing against the colon. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The sigmoid gets pressure from the penis coming, you know, and then something can happen. But for a guy to do it makes no sense at all.
And
you wonder if it's...
It's one thing if the guy has some sort of Crohn's disease or something.
Yeah, if he has... Right, it's a bloody diarrhea.
Form.
Right, but, you know, there are these guys that have these sort of fetishes of being like a baby, and they go get a diaper and crap themselves during sex.
Well, I mean, if he's having a solid movement when he orgasms... I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either, but she didn't sound bogus.
But isn't it like two different, you know what I mean?
Yes. That's why I'm going down the fetish path, because it doesn't make sense physiologically that would happen just from having an orgasm.
All right, so there's three scenarios. Either this is bogus.
Yep.
Or he's just into this fetish.
Yep.
Or C, he needs to see a doctor immediately.
Because there's something terribly wrong with his bowels, exactly.
Yeah. All right, put her back.
Rachel?
Yeah.
Did you hear all that?
I heard some of it, something about some fetish or something.
Do you think he has one?
Huh?
Do you think he has a fetish?
I don't, well, it doesn't seem like him, but I guess he could. That may be why he doesn't want to go to the doctor about it.
Well, if you told him, you know, no sex ever again if you're going to do this, what he's saying.
Yeah, well, I told him, like, I'm not going to have sex with you if this is going to happen every time. And
but part of the fetish is these guys want to be shamed. They want mommy, you know, giving them a finger wag. You know, that's part of the whole what arouses them. So I wonder if this guy's going down that path.
Okay, well, if this guy's going down that path, I need to venture down a different path.
Well, that's fine. That seems appropriate. Maybe he needs to venture down the path of the therapist's office. And it's funny, you know, there's people out there go, oh, he just needs to go to clubs where people are into this kind of thing. He's like, are you kidding? This guy's never going to have intimacy. Yeah, well, if that's really what it is. If it's a bowel problem, he needs to see a gastroenterologist who really does.
It's bogus.
Yeah, it's still got a bogus feel.
Please.
All right, Dave, you put her on hold, please.
Yeah. I don't believe it, but stay out of the 69 position, that's all.
Please, indeed. Ralph, 22.
Ralph? Yeah, where is he?
I don't know. I potted him up. Ralph.
All right. Go to the next one.
I will. It's Isaac, 26.
Hello.
Isaac? Hey,
yes.
Isaac, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'll just go ahead and ask my question.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Pretty much, when you and Adam were doing that show, I forget if it was on MTV or something like that. Y'all were doing a show one time, and I remember watching one of the episodes y'all had. Some guy called in, or maybe he was in the audience. I don't remember. Anyway, he was talking about his penis actually being, you know, kind of turned or some way, and it causes pain or something like that.
Right.
And my question is, see, I'm married, and, you know, me me and my wife are going to look into, you know, having children down the road. And it, sometimes, like, after I have sex, it like, the actual, I know it not being a muscle or whatever, I know it kind of hurts toward the base of it, you know, when it goes back down. So I don't know if that is caused by the fact that it's turned slightly kind of to the right or what. I mean, it's always been that
way. All right,
way,
quiet
you know,
down.
All right, Isaac, relax.
It's bogus.
No, it's not.
Did I talk to you at the swap meet today?
He's in Arkansas, not in Tampa.
Oh.
But he's channeling your Tampa buddies.
Yeah. All right,
Isaac. Here's the deal: the curvature is normal to a certain point. If you're born, a certain amount of curvature is caused by sort of trauma to the penis, and if it gets to be, you know, to a point where you're having difficulty with an erection, pain with erection, it's time to look into it. It's called Peyronie's disease. At that point, some urologists believe that 800 units of vitamin E, 800 units of vitamin E will help straighten it out. I talked to a urologist last week, Adam, who concurred that does work early in the course of Peyronie's, but if it's been that way a long time, there's not much can be done to straighten it out other than an operation. But that's probably not what's causing the pain anyway. The pain is just something that people get when they get a spasm of the muscles of the pelvic floor after orgasm, and that's not a big deal.
All right, there you go.
True.
Did you find out how much for the penis enlargement?
No, yeah. I haven't talked to the guy yet.
I know definitely I don't need a penis enlargement. So that's,
definitely, yeah, Adam. How dare you?
Well, all right.
But
all right.
The thing is, I mean,
what
I don't know.
About a brain enlargement?
I mean,
what's that? Yeah.
I'm saying, I mean, I don't understand, like, you know, you hear certain things, and I remember seeing on the show at that time where you were talking about, like, an operation, like, you know.
I just mentioned the operation. Isaac, I just mentioned it, and it's only if it's enough that it's causing your partner pain, you pain, or difficulty with erection. Otherwise, don't worry about it. They put Isaac on hold, if you would, please.
Good.
Yes, thank you. It's hard here with not having control over the hold button, you know.
Oh,
you know how that
yeah.
is.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
my pride and joy. You know, when I travel, that's what I miss the most, my precious hold button.
For life.
Like, it's true. I call my house. My wife picks up. I'm like, sweetie, put the hold button on. And I'm like, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? And then, you know, when I'm in the airport, I usually buy like a stuffed animal for the hold button. Yeah, I really miss it.
Hey, we have a DVD winner a winner from the Saw DVD competition. I'm going to give a shot at this name, and I apologize if I'm not pronouncing it properly. It's Kyle Waidelich. I think Waidelich Waidelich.
And he's going to Derbyshire.
He's going to Derbyshire.
Wow,
he's
going
to go to the Bloodfest. Yeah, it's cool.
That's awesome.
And I was thinking to myself, I thought, God, you know, if I were one of these people that won the DVDs, remember we were giving the Saw DVD to everybody who got on the air that was over 18. I thought, oh, each of those guys is praying that you talk more, just to reduce the number of contestants that they're competing against.
Well, the good news is the giveaway was like 2 weeks long, and we gave away three of them.
Right, that's right. All right, here's somebody calling from Tampa other than you. Ashley?
Yeah.
What's
23.
Happening?
Okay, about a month ago, I went into the bathroom, and I realized I just got my period, but I had an appointment to get a Brazilian bikini wax. So I couldn't really do anything. So I went and got the bikini wax, and then later that night, my period...
Just hang on one second. What do you mean you couldn't really do anything? What does that mean?
Well, like, I didn't think that I should probably get a wax because I would be, like, super sensitive, but I already was at the salon, so I just decided to, like, go ahead with it.
Okay.
I thought that might be kind of gross, but it was still really light because I had just gotten it. So,
yes.
Anyway, I got the Brazilian wax, and it really hurt, and then... Later that night, I went to buy pads, and my period had disappeared, and I haven't gotten it since.
Oh, maybe the Asian lady took it away. What was the nationality of the lady that gave you
the wax?
She was Bulgarian.
All right. Well,
yeah, there's that. Yeah.
The Eastern Bloc.
Yes, there's the Eastern Bloc one, right. He's the big, fat, huge, right?
It's the liaison for the female gymnastics team from Bulgaria.
Right.
You know, she walks up and down, makes sure it's lights out and that no one tries to defect.
Right.
But stayed here herself to pull hair off the vaginal area of young women.
It's nice. It's all over. It's the cycle of life there.
Yeah. It's a living.
Ashley, how do you think pulling hair from the outside has anything to do with your uterine function or your ovarian function?
Well,
how could that possibly be related?
I'm just thinking, like, the trauma. I don't know. That's why I'm calling you.
Well, let's be sort of more realistic about this. When was the last time you had sex?
About 6 months.
6 months. So there's no chance you're pregnant.
Right.
No chance.
Right.
Okay. No chance.
No chance.
You want any medication?
No, I take Zyrtec sometimes, but...
Nothing else?
That's it.
And you've never missed a period before?
I have. I've had I sort of have a history of regular periods, but it's been regular for the past couple of years.
Okay, well, it's becoming irregular again.
Well, I did have a bladder infection about a month before that, and I was on an antibiotic before that, but it had finished, you know, a month before this happened.
Yeah, that can screw you up a little bit, but, you know, you have irregular periods. You're the cycling of the relationship between the pituitary, the hypothalamus, the ovaries isn't perfect.
Let's talk about that Brazilian wax, though. How'd that go?
It was very painful.
What did they give you to wear?
I had to wear these disposable panties.
Little paper panties?
Yeah.
And what areas did they hit?
First she does the front, and she's two different kinds of wax. And
it wasn't they, Adam, it was Helga.
Wow.
Her name was Jana.
I beg your pardon.
She uses scissors and two different kinds of wax, and she has me get down on all fours, and she just like the behind.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Drew, it is somewhere between a gynecological exam and a park raping.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then I went back like a month later, and then she didn't even have me wear any underwear at all. I was like totally naked from the waist
down. Well, what the hell difference does it make?
Do you see why you have to use people that don't speak English?
Yes. They have to be non-people.
Yeah, well, what you don't want is, I went to school with your mom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
they have to be recent immigrants, people that have not sort of assimilated yet.
And they have to be crazy nationalities.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. It's like everyone back in Bulgaria is talking to her, and she's saying, they're going, so you're an attorney? Yeah, sure. But you don't even speak the language. Yeah.
That's great. America's great. America's great.
Awesome. Awesome.
But do you notice how all the kind of wacky, not sex industry, but peripheral to the sex industry stuff, you know, the people that make the dildos and put the pubic hair on the dildos and do the Brazilian waxes are always people that don't quite speak English?
Yeah, we just...
And I want to interview these people and go, what do you tell your family? Do you tell them you're an attorney, or did you come here for this job? Did you do this in the other country?
Yeah, I mean, it's just as simple as... If you were going into a pharmacy to buy something personal or embarrassing, like some
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I know. Drew knows firsthand. I'm just saying, most people, I don't care what part of the country, what part of the world you're in, you want to see as far away from you as possible.
Yes.
As far away from your parents as possible.
You want Jar Jar Binks behind the counter.
Yes, you want someone who looks like he's never spoken to anyone you may even come close to knowing.
Ashley, did you get that from this woman? Was that what it did for you? I mean, was she effective that way?
Yeah, totally.
That was good. Okay.
Now, would it be weird if there was a 21-year-old girl who was, you know, semi-attractive and was from Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, I actually live... I got this done in Miami, and I actually drive to this place, like, to get it done.
Tampa?
When I'm there visiting my family so that I don't, like, run to anyone I know.
How often do you have to do that?
I do it, like 4 times a year.
Do they have the big banner up front that says, Welcome Strippers?
Yeah, Miami's definitely the only place in Florida to get a Brazilian wax.
All right.
What? Pardon my ignorance. What does that mean, Brazilian wax?
It's like where they take everything off except a little landing strip.
But they got to go backside, too, Drew. Yeah.
Everything, Adam, everything.
Everything, and L.A. and Miami are the only places to do it.
Yeah, I know. I have to drive out to Miami to get mine. So I'm too well known in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
It's humiliating.
Oh, my God.
Drew, could you imagine me going in for a Brazilian wax?
Oh, my God.
You'd see the calendar pages blowing by and the seasons changing and a big pile of hair just getting mountainous in the corner of the room.
But it'd be like an Afghan or something. They'd be women weaving stuff.
The woman, it's like, what happened to Holga? Well, she died of natural causes. Now her daughter's working on me. It'd be generations of Yugoslavians working on my groin.
How would they do it without taking the pelt? It'd be like a scalping.
Yeah,
you'd be.
No, they'd have skin to take skin. They'd have to take skin. I'd have to be degloved.
You'd be ungloved, yes. Your anus and your gluteal muscles. All right, let's go throw it a break.
All right, I'm going to bed.
All right, you're done for the night.
This is never going to work.
It was fun having you here.
Though. Cost me $180 on the house phone here.
That's true. All right, but you're going to get that ISDN by tomorrow
night.
Right?
I will guarantee it will be settled for tomorrow.
All right, fair enough. We'll talk to them. All right, in the meantime, we'll be back with more Loveline after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. We're back. At least I'm back. Dr. Drew here, 1-800-LOVE-191. Had an interesting weekend this weekend up in the mountains here in Southern California. One of the weird things about Los Angeles is you can drive a couple hours and be at the beach, or you can be at the mountains in the snow. It's amazing. I had to come down through a blizzard tonight. If you those of you who are hearing about the rainstorms we're having out here, you get up into the mountains and it's just insane. This is a cloud. Speaking of into the clouds, 20. Cloud? Very interesting. This is a Joe. Joe?
Yes, hello.
How you doing there?
I've been better.
What's happening?
My husband and I have been together about 15 years.
Yeah.
And about 5 months ago, he cheated on me with somebody that we both knew that he worked with. And
Hold on a second. How long ago did that happen?
About 4 months ago.
How'd you find out about it?
It was about 5 months ago. He was supposed to, he called me before he got off of work and said, I'll be home in a, you know, certain amount of time. He didn't show up. And around 5 o'clock in the morning, I called his work and, nobody knew where he was. And just one thing led to another employee was missing and her family was looking for her. And, their family and I got in contact, and when he finally did show up at home, I questioned him about where he had been, what he had been doing, and I didn't find out until the next day that they had actually slept together and he cheated on me.
All right, there's two possibilities here. One is that this was going on far longer than this single episode, or he's an alcoholic drug addict who was on some kind of binge and just went out with this woman during one of the binges.
It was a single episode.
He's a drug addict.
No, not at all.
No way is it a single episode. No way. So he's a cheater. Has he cheated in the past before?
No.
This is his first time as far as you know.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to do?
Supposedly what happened was she was having some trouble. She was threatening to kill herself. He tried to talk to her and keep her from, to get some help. And one thing led to another. And
Joe, you are believing a load of crap. That is a load of crap. When somebody's threatening to kill themselves, they go to the hospital. And they don't, by the way, get out of it. They don't feel better because of having an affair. They feel worse. And they're equally as badly in crisis the next day. It's not magically, he saved me with his penis. Are you kidding? Joe, what do you want to do about this?
We haven't had sex for about 4 months now.
You guys need to see a marriage counselor. That is the only hope. He's lying, distorting, God knows what else he's up to. Come on.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility here? Do you guys have kids?
Yeah.
All right. On behalf of the kids, let's get some professional help here. This is totally out of control. He's lying to you. He's who knows what he's up to. I mean, this could be any number of different things, but it is way out of control. This business of not chewing up till 5 in the morning, guys don't do that in a single episode. They're perfectly pristine. All of a sudden, one night, they don't show up. Well, he was trying to save her because she was depressed. What are you going to do? And then she attacked him. And well, poor guy, you got to have sex then. I mean, what planet are you living on when you believe a story like that? Joe, either this guy's been doing stuff for a long time, or this is also addict behavior. Addicts do this kind of thing all the time, part of a binge. Maybe their disease is escalating, but this is something that happens. So marriage counselor, psychologist, therapist, the two of you get in there, and it's time to get a little bit honest here. On behalf of your kids, Ralph, 22.
Yeah, I got a whisper. I'm in my job. My girlfriend's in the bathroom, and I don't want her to hear.
All right.
I went to a strip club last night.
Yeah.
Spent way too much money, and the stripper licked her hand and put it down my pants, and I was wondering if there's any way to get anything from that.
Oh, Ralph. You know, this is more, again, just like the last caller, this is more symptomatic of the guilt and shame you have about doing the stuff you do. Maybe that's what you ought to look at. The consequences are just beginning to mount, that you're going to strip clubs on the QT and you know, getting involved in these very provocative situations where people, strippers are actually touching you. Yeah, certainly, of course. What do you think? I mean, if she has herpes on her mouth, if she has, she just touched your skin, right?
Yeah.
All right, so it has to be a skin thing. If she had a syphilitic ulcer, if she had gonorrhea of the throat, if she had chlamydia of the throat, yes, those things, maybe not even the chlamydia and the gonorrhea. You have to have the urethra touched in order for that to happen. But did you see gigantic herpetic lesions on her lips?
Yeah, it was no, I didn't. And then
right.
she also masturbated and stuck her hand in my mouth. I was a little worried about that, too.
What kind of strip club are you going to? It's a prostitute. It wasn't a strip club, was it?
What's that?
You're seeing prostitutes, right?
No, that was a strip club.
Really?
It was a seedy strip club.
Oh, my. Again, that's a way to transmit everything. Not an easy way to transmit it, but if she was getting vaginal secretions and, you know, mucosal surfaces being touched, that's the way to transmit stuff.
Sure.
But you would get a sore throat, you would see sores, you would have, you know, you'd have symptoms.
How long would that take to see symptoms?
Up to a week. But listen, Ralph.
Should I not touch my girlfriend?
I'm not going to tell you what to do or not to do, but I think you ought to look into the sexual compulsions. That's the bigger issue here, that you're covertly acting out sexually in increasingly provocative and dangerous ways, to the point that you're now endangering yourself and your girlfriend. That's all symptomatic of sexual addiction. And I'd look into that. Maybe look up SA on the line, Sex Addicts Anonymous, that sort of thing. Maybe they can help you out. Kelly, 18.
Yeah.
What's up, Kelly?
I recently just had sex with this guy, and afterwards I went to the bathroom, I guess you could say, and I just was bleeding, like, mm-hmm. not like spotting, just like full on bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And it continued for a couple days, and then like it happened a week ago, and it's still really sore, and like it's still bleeding a little bit.
What's sore?
I don't know what's like happening. Like, did I tear something?
What's sore?
Well, it just like my whole like lower half is sore. Like everything is just sore around.
And this was vaginal intercourse?
Uh-huh.
You know, intercourse can just stimulate bleeding, Kelly, right?
Yeah, well, just I didn't sex, bleed so. The first time that I had sex.
And this was only your second time?
No, it was not. It wasn't even like, it was like my fifth time having sex.
Are you on the birth control pill?
Yeah.
Very common for there to be bleeding after sex on the pill. Okay? That's it. Okay. Happens. And sort of, you know, what cycle, how many pills you've been on? How many times have you been cycled through this pill?
I've been on it since I was like 14, because
same
I
pill.
Never had a period. So
same exact
period.
Same exact product. Same pill.
Uh-huh.
Same one.
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't know what it's called. It's like a low dosage, because it's just to regulate my period.
Well, all right, but that people on the pill often get this kind of symptom, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I don't know what the soreness is about. I mean, you might want to look into that, because that is unrelated to the bleeding, I suspect. Cloud?
Yep.
You're 20. What's up?
Oh, one second, Dr. James. Rental?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I'll buy them. Exactly, yeah.
Buy them? Okay. Yeah, I just want to know if it's possible.
Well, we just got to try to figure out what kind of place you're working in. ski shop, or where do you...
No, an adult bookstore.
Of course. The first thing came to mind. I beg you, how dare I? Go ahead.
That's okay. I just want to tell you, I'm a long-time listener, and it's kind of good that, Adam's not here for the evening. Sometimes it's good every now and then just to have you giving out your professional opinion. I love it.
Thank you.
And my question was, is it possible to get herpes on your ear?
Sure. You can get herpes on any skin surface.
Well, because the weird thing is I've only noticed this after I got my piercings stretched in my ears.
Yeah.
I'm not promiscuous. I actually am very asexual. So, and I don't even share a cigarette with someone if I think that they are...
Well, tell me what's on your ears. Both ears, the same thing?
No, just one ear.
And what do you got?
And it's basically, like little red bumps with little bits of pus coming out of it.
No, you're having some either local infection, or you're rejecting the piercing.
Oh, no, that's not at all, because I've had many piercings. And yeah. One second, 194.83.
Hell, wow. 194?
Let's see, credit or debit?
The adult book or credit. What is the what is 194?
Four videos.
Oh my god, 20, 30 bucks a piece? Oh, Chris, by the way, engineer here's like shaking his head just very knowingly. Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Four videos, yeah, that's 50 bucks a piece.
Good
yeah,
price.
Yeah. 50 bucks a piece.
Well, he's getting a deal, 10 bucks off, or 20 bucks off total.
See, that's how out of it I am. I didn't know they were 50 bucks for, I mean.
Because I've had many piercings, and I know what an agitated piercing looks like. My body never rejected piercings. I have two eyebrows.
And we're talking about an earlobe piercing.
Yeah, and I've been stretching them out there at about 2 gauges right now. I've been getting them stretched from a 10-gauge all the way down to a 2-gauge.
Right.
And for some reason, my mom saw it today, and she thought that it was actually herpes.
And it's been there continuously since you started the stretching?
No, it has not.
How long has it been there?
For about 2 days. They just start showing up.
It could be. It's possible. I mean, again, there's a thousand other things that can look like that. So you needed to get a dermatologist to see. It could even be just an allergic reaction.
Really?
Herpes there would hurt. It would give you headaches. It would hurt like hell.
No, it just itches like hell.
Yeah, okay, it's possible. It's possible. And you probably had some little bit of open, you know, little tears in the skin there as you stretched it. And maybe somebody had something on their hand.
Well, no, it's not actually where the gauge is. It's like around the lobe.
That's where the gauge is, though, right?
Oh, yeah, like in the middle, but this is around the tip of it.
Yeah, I understand.
It's nowhere near the actual...
Yeah, I understand.
The piercing.
All right. I'm trying to picture what this is, but you need to get somebody to see it who knows what these things look like. I mean, the classic description of herpes is clustered vesicles, often tiny vesicles, sometimes more sort of blister-like size, clustered around a red base. Clustered vesicles on a red base. That's what Chris is getting me in my anatomy book. Do you want me to show you what the earlobe? No, I don't need to show you. All right. Okay, last call of this segment. This is Quinton. Whoop, Quinton, who's 20. 15, Quinton.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing.
Mom. Oh.
Yeah.
Mom's in the room?
No. I just want to say this show is awesome.
All right, hold on a second. I'm afraid of what he's getting into there. Jason, 28. Jason?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
Not much. I had a question for Drew.
Yep.
Well, I had sex with a girl with a condom a couple weeks ago, and I was curious if it's possible to get like a urinary tract infection from spermicide.
Not so much urinary tract infection as a urethritis. You can get the it hurts when you pee.
Not really. Just tingling, kind of phantom pains, some itching a little bit.
You know, that can be anything, Jason. That kind of nonspecific urethral inflammation, and you wore the condom properly and religiously throughout the whole experience.
Yeah. Yes,
no oral sex without, sure no oral sex without a condom.
No.
Then it is probably some sort of chemical irritant. It's not a big deal. Okay. If it persists more than a couple of days, I'd have somebody just culture it to be sure. But yeah, people complain about that pretty frequently from just the latex itself hitting up against the urethra or the spermicide. Well, it's Dr. Drew here tonight. Adam, as you heard, is in Tampa, and his Zephyr couldn't get hooked up because he couldn't get an ISDN line. No fault of his, because he got screwed over by the hotel. And he's there with mullets and mohawks. What was the other thing he was complaining about he'd seen down there? Somebody, I guess NASCAR is the thing he's most concerned about. And he'll be back on Zephyr tomorrow night. And for the rest of the evening, it'll be just Dr. Drew. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to blow through some calls tonight because we don't have Mr. Corolla here to ramble on and on and on. So here we go, right to it. This is a Mary 23. Mary?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm about 7 weeks pregnant.
Yeah?
And my doctor says that I cannot have sex for like the next 3 weeks or so. And I want to know, is that true? Or because I'm hearing other people say, oh, no, it's fine, it's fine.
I don't know why your doctor would lie to you. What kind of doctor did you see?
It was just some doctor, not my regular doctor.
But a gynecologist?
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody who specializes in pregnancies.
Yes.
Okay,
And this is my first birth, this is my first baby, and I just don't know what to do. I don't know if that's okay.
Maybe your gynecologist has some concerns about you or the way you, or your partner. I don't know. I don't know you. That's a very specific direction. I would follow it. Generally speaking, it is quite safe to have sex throughout a pregnancy. Uh-huh. Later in the pregnancy, sometimes it can add some risk to preterm labor and things like that.
Oh.
But for the most part, it's a fairly safe activity.
Uh-huh.
Now, your doctor is giving you specific instructions.
Yeah.
That's not a random thing. There's some reason for that. I'm not sure what the reason is. Maybe you have an incompetence. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would follow those directions, all right?
Okay, cool.
All right. Good luck now. Now we'll try Quentin again. Quentin's 15. Quentin?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing.
All right. You want to try again with your question?
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
When I watch porn, I can only get off when a girl's getting a facial.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's weird.
Well, I don't know how deep into this one I want to get, but you're 15. Your habits and preferences will change as you grow and mature, I hope. Clearly, there are guys that are into this. That's why they do that stuff. I mean, they create this stuff for you guys because you like it, evidently. So you must not be alone. I don't know of the specific implications of really being turned on by that, except that to me it seems sort of misogynistic, meaning that it's like sort of an aggressive act on against women. I've got zero of that in me, so it's hard for me to understand what would be in that for someone. But I kind of keep an eye on that if I were you, Quentin, and see if you can't perhaps expand out to more sort of specific intimate acts rather than sort of these sort of aggressive acts. Justin, 22.
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Drew?
Not much. What's happening there?
Hey, I have been diagnosed with a hydrocele on my right testicle.
Good times.
Yeah, and I was just wondering what I could what could be done about it.
Hopefully nothing. Do they want to drain it or take it out?
Well, it's been there for like almost a year now, and he really hasn't said anything to whether to do it.
I wouldn't. If I had one of those, I wouldn't. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't do anything. They can get kind of big sometimes. And you never know if it's a sperm. Hydrocele just means it's a water-filled cyst, but it could be spermatocele, varicocele. You don't really know what it is. And as long as it's not changing, why get rid of it?
Well, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, you know.
So. How much worse can a testicle look? You know what I mean?
Well,
and it's not like she's doing a testicular exam on you. It's hard to feel. Is it huge? Is it the size of a tennis ball or something?
No. It's like a half inch by an inch, maybe.
Oh, are you kidding? Justin.
What?
Who's going to notice that?
Would you want one on yours?
Let me think if I've had them. They're very common.
Okay, there you go.
It's not that big a deal. And, you know, as long as doctors checked it out, make sure it is just a cyst and not anything else, it's just one of those things. There's been some suggestions that may have something to do with fertility, but for the most part, I think they just leave them alone. Seraphim, 25.
Hello, yes?
What's happening?
I had a question.
Hello? We're here. I'm here.
Yeah, I have a question. When I was like 15 years old, I had gotten raped by a lady who was 30, right?
You were raped or sort of seduced?
Seduced and, you know, by a lady and, you know, molested by her. You know, she seduced me and...
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And right now, I'm having a problem with like getting a girlfriend. I don't know if it's because that's been like bothering me right now.
Well, it's an interesting question, Seraphim. There's no doubt that if you study males that were acted upon by adult women, 15 or under, if you were 15 or under and an adult came on to you and had sex with you, there's much more trouble with behavior, antisocial behavior, drug addiction, depression, and intimacy problems. But the question then becomes, well, did that episode cause it? Or did this woman just see you as a good victim and you were already been victimized by somebody else? And it's sort of already, the soil was already set. You know, the cement was not yet dry, but it was clearly set in a particular mold. So were you sexually abused or were you abused in any fashion prior to this woman doing this to you?
Well, see, really, I don't know, because, you know, at the time I was drunk. And yes,
no, I don't mean that day. I mean when you were a child that somebody...
No, it never happened.
No one ever hit you?
No.
No one ever hit you?
No.
Ever?
No.
None ever struck you? Were you neglected or anything growing up?
Nah, I wasn't.
So this just, and how come, I guess 15, you might just think, did you think it was cool at the time?
I did at first.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I have some regrets.
Okay.
About it.
All right, what do you want to do about it?
Well, I know, see, my question was, I wanted a tip, how could I forget about this and move on, you know, and get a girlfriend?
All right. Well, getting a girlfriend, so to speak, is not about forgetting about this. It's about being able to tolerate intimacy. And I still get the feeling, Seraphim, that intimacy is a difficult, a tall order for you. the important thing is to make what we call a cohesive narrative out of these traumatic experiences. And the only way really to do that is with some kind of therapy. So I would urge you to see someone, do a little talk cure, and this thing should be taken care of. I suspect there's more than just this, though, that needs to be kind of looked at. We'll be back with more Loveline after this. Hey there, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. And, you know, there's a call we had a couple weeks ago. I can't remember the details of it, but it sort of stayed with me. And it was a guy who was concerned he may have been, I can't remember the details, he may have been exposed to HIV. And I just want to bring this up, since Adam's not here to say how boring this is. I can indulge myself. And that is, we have protocols now for antiviral medication for healthcare workers when they get needle sticks, when they believe that they've been stuck with a needle from someone who has HIV. And getting on these antivirals right away really reduces the risk that you're going to get the HIV infection. And by the way, you a-holes at Spin Magazine that spent all those years talking about how HIV doesn't cause AIDS, that is the craziest load of S I've ever heard. Now it's at the point where we're doing things like somebody gets exposed to HIV, we suppress the virus, the disease doesn't transmit. We control the disease for years now by suppressing the virus. When I was in training, the viral loads were just uncontrollable. People get their first episode of pneumocystis pneumonia, they'd be dead in 6 months. Now they don't even get pneumocystis pneumonia. I guess we don't know what we're doing. And in the history of medicine, by the way, there's never been anything like that in history. It took us about 1,000 years to figure out what caused syphilis. With this disease, we figured out where it came from, what the causative agent was, what the natural history is, and have come up with some great treatments. All in about 10 years. That is unbelievable. Anyway, enough of that. But the point is, for bringing this up, is that there's now some suggestions that people that have non-occupational exposure, that is to say people that think they've been exposed to someone in a sexual act or sharing a needle, anything like that, they really believe there's a high likelihood that they've been exposed to HIV. They may want to talk to their doctor about taking these antiviral medications for a while. If there really was a possible exposure, it can dramatically reduce the risk. Here is Rebecca. We're going to go on with Loveline now. Rebecca, 22. Rebecca, what's up?
Basically, I'm wondering about male sexuality. My boyfriend's 25, and we've only been together since October. We knew each other for 7 years.
Yeah.
Well, new in high school, but basically it's like his sex drive is really low, and we've been the only conflict in our relationship, and I'm not understanding, you know, like
hold on. Okay. His sex drive is really low?
His is low and mine's apparently high. I was on Depo for a little while and that really screwed me up. I had like mood swings and I had like consistent bleeding, but that really decreased my sex drive, but it didn't matter. I was still greater than his.
Okay.
And when we do have sex and it lasts for a short amount of time, I get really frustrated. And when I don't climax, like I have like really emotional, like it really affects me big time. And I get, that's interesting.
And,
oh, it's horrible.
And what is it you need from him in order to climax that you're not getting?
It's time, or he says that he wants to do other things to make me climax. It's like, I can do it either way.
What do you mean either way? What does that mean?
Vaginally or orally.
Okay. So does he do a oral sex?
Sometimes, but he says he likes to do it, but, you know, he's kind of lazy. And,
oh, my God.
Like, last night, actually it was this morning, we had sex, it was quick, and then he just kind of laid there, and he's like, I didn't think of asking you what you wanted, I thought we wanted it quick. And just, you know, I just get really emotional, and we fight, and we're actually broken up right now. We're actually going to his place to get my stuff.
Why don't you stay broken up, Rebecca? It sounds perfect.
Because our relationship is, like, absolutely wonderful besides it, and...
No.
No way
it's that wonderful.
Bogus, you're calling it.
No, it's not bogus. It's just not that wonderful. I mean, I understand that it's nice, and I'm sure you have some wonderful friendships, too, but you need something more than that from your boyfriend, it would seem to me. How many boyfriends have you had?
I've had a lot, but he hasn't had but, like, 3 girlfriends, and I'm his first ever.
Boyfriends have you had? Exactly how many?
20, 30. I go through boyfriends like toilet paper. That's probably like a huge issue as well. I have underlying emotional issues from, you know. I'm sure you study psychology a little bit. I bet you can bring up Freud or the possibility that my dad was in and out of my life. I mean, I'm sure that affects it quite a bit. I was like...
All right, why don't you deal with that?
I went to the psychologist, and he said, you know, we have classes for depression, and we can get you on some drugs. That's the only thing he offered, because they said they don't do counseling. It's through Kaiser. I don't know if I can say
That's a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, then.
Psychiatrist.
If you went counseling, you have to pay for yourself to do that. But the fact is that, yes, rather than you being left by men now, you're making sure that you leave men.
Totally.
In other words,
this thing that was so
uncontrollable and painful to you, the dad that moved in of your life and abandoned you, now, before a guy has a chance to abandon you, you're going to abandon him.
That's true. That's my pattern.
Your pattern. And until you find a guy you can actually be genuinely intimate with and have a real relationship, and this one is like even like a half a relationship. I don't even feel like you really even care about him. That's perfect for you, though, because you don't want to really care about guys. But the relationship is perfect because he's not even in it. He's not. There's no emotion, so it's perfect.
Everything else. I mean, I've never really loved that or him.
Oh, the phone's cutting out. Damn.
Oh, sorry.
Did you say you've never loved a guy as much as him?
I've never loved a guy. I've never been in love.
Yeah, but this guy's perfect because he's having no emotion. He's not in at all.
He has every emotion besides sex. Every emotion.
No. No way. No way. No way, because you wouldn't be in if it, you wouldn't be, you know, to have somebody actually available to you emotionally, you'd have to reject them. You'd have to leave them.
I've broken up with them for insane reasons.
All right, well, maybe. But maybe you're the one not working with the sexual aspect of this relationship. You need to kind of...
I can see that as being true. That's, you know, if he messes up once, then I break up with him.
And you freak out. Maybe rather than being such a ball buster, the thing is to give him a little bit of a chance here to say, hey, here's what I need, or it freaks me out. And go ahead and try to actually have the relationship work. I don't know which it is for you, Rebecca. Either it's that there's really only two possibilities because of your pattern, I can sort of predict this. One is, I mean, there are other variations, but hearing you, this is what I think, that either this guy's not involved, he's having very little in the way of an emotional connection, and that's why he seems perfect for you, or he is actually involved and you've got to sabotage it. So if he is actually involved, you might want to try to stick this one out, but I don't know. Crystal, 16.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call, first of all. My question is, I kind of like, after giving a guy a blowjob, I got kind of queasy, and I don't understand why.
I don't know. Sounds kind of yucky to me. Why does it surprise you? Was it a guy you were really into?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very emotional thing. It's intimate. It's intense. I mean, were you using drugs or alcohol at the time?
Uh-uh.
Tell me more. Did you vomit?
No, I just, like, I totally felt like I was about to throw up and...
Well, A, there's always the gag response, and that might be making you sort of want to throw up. B, you can kind of you don't breathe normally during an episode like that, and that can make you dizzy. And finally, it's sort of vomititious by its nature. I mean, why does it surprise you? Particularly if it's somebody, was it somebody you've been involved with for a while?
No, actually.
Yeah, of course. It's a very intense situation. Crystal, why are you surprised that this would be, you have a physical reaction? That's what I'm surprised at, that it's something you wouldn't expect to have.
Well, I mean, because, like, I've never done that before, and plus, like, from what I've heard around, you really, like, I shouldn't have had that happen. Like,
no, Crystal, what you've heard along is a lot of BS. You're 16, you're engaging in this incredibly intimate act. Are you kidding? Your body, even though your brain is decided it's what you're supposed to do, your body is telling you otherwise. Your body does not lie, okay? Relax. Okay. This should be something you do with somebody you're really involved with, a long-term relationship, not something... listen to your body. It's telling you something, for crying out loud. You're only 16. Relax. Drake, 34.
Yes. How you doing, Dr. Drew?
What's up,
Dave? I have a 2.5-year-old son, and when he was born, basically, he would suck on his tongue, essentially, when he would sleep, and now 2.5 years later, there is periods of time during the night when he'll wake up crying because, to me, it seems like he's not being able to breathe.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it seems like as if, you know, he's shoving his tongue up to, you know, sucking on his tongue so hard that he's trying to breathe through his nose, which is natural, but he doesn't seem to really be able to breathe through his nose.
What does his pediatrician say?
We've asked them several times, and they said, you know, humidifiers and you know, like mentholatum and all these other different things. And it's like, okay, can we get some real answers here? Because I mean,
well, it
really
sounds like, look, there's a lot of different things that can cause that. There's, okay. That's when people take the tonsils and adenoids out. The adenoids are what cause the obstruction in the nose to make it difficult for kids to breathe. But you don't necessarily want to take them out. They're lymphatic tissue if you don't have to. Okay. Allergies do this typically. Is he asthmatic or anything?
No.
All right. But, you may want to ask him to see if you can get a referral to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, a pediatrician that does ear, nose, and throat work. And you look into this a little bit further if you want to take it further. But it's very common for kids to have this kind of thing. Jason, 24.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hi, Jason. What's happening?
Hey, man. I'm a big fan of you guys, man. You guys do a great job, man.
We appreciate that. What's happening there?
I've been taking Zoloft for about 4 years now.
Yep.
And just recently, like, they upped my dosage to 100 because I've been having, like, more anxiety attacks.
Yep.
And now, like, I don't know when I'm hungry until, like, I'm starving.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I eat, like, when a normal person eats before they're, like, stuffed, you know that you're full somehow. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, okay. Psychiatric medications commonly screw with your appetite centers. Zoloft, not so typically, and not really in the manner you're describing, but yes, Zoloft's in the class of serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They can suppress your appetite. They can increase your appetite. And in your case, it's sort of causing a difficulty in reading your appetites or really experiencing your appetites normally. Are you gaining weight on it?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm calling. And
all right, you got to talk to your doctor about it. You may want to talk to him about Topamax. Sometimes they add that to the Zoloft, and it can suppress your appetite, okay?
Topamax,
T-O-P-O-M-A-X. Okay. Ask him about that as a way of compensating for this appetite problem, the Zoloft. Are your panic attacks settled down?
Yeah, they have. Ever since I upped it, my panic.
All right, so it worked. It did what you wanted it to do, but there's an unpleasant side effect there, so you got to kind of deal with that. This now is Desi, who is 25. Desi.
Hello.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I was wondering what you thought about hypnotherapy as a form of therapy for, like, sexual abuse and abandonment issues and stuff like that.
It's a nice fantasy to think that somebody can just put you to sleep and work on you and make your brain better again. But no, unfortunately, it doesn't do much. It doesn't sort of help you with relaxation, anxiety, that kind of thing. I mean, think about it. Are you kidding, Desi? There are millions of people out there with the problem you have. If all we had to do was send them to a hypnotist and they'd magically take these things away, are you kidding? Well, you think we'd withhold that from people?
Is there anything that hypnotherapy is good for?
What's that?
Is there anything that is good for that? I mean,
it's not good for nothing. It has uses, but for a very complex psychiatric condition, it would be part of a sort of an array of interventions. It simply as a sole intervention, it would be really sort of malpractice for somebody to use that as a singular intervention for something as complex as abuse. However, there is something kind of magical happening called EMDR, which is a eye movement treatment where they have you go through some of your memories and feelings while you focus on something and move your eyes a certain way. And it seems to, there's a lot of literature that suggests that it may affect the wiring in your brain in a very rapid way to help you get over things like post-traumatic stress disorder, phobias, these kinds of things. That's about the most magical thing we have. Otherwise, it's crunching out long-term kinds of therapy, okay?
Okay.
EMDR, look into that on the web. EMDR.
Yeah. EMDR, thank you.
All right. This now is Tom, 16. Tom, what's up?
Oh, yeah, what's up? First, I want to say I think you're awesome.
Thanks, Tom.
And I'm reading your book right now. I haven't finished yet. But
God bless you.
I have a question about football brain damage. Like,
yeah?
Did you play football?
I did.
Yeah. And so
did Adam. I'm sure you know. He talks about it all the time. He never gives me a chance to talk.
Yeah.
I was captain of my football team.
Yeah.
What?
I know I've had at least one concussion. And,
yeah.
And I was wondering, like, what kind of brain damage could happen and what are the risks and stuff?
Well, the single concussion, there's concerns about it, and there's definitely an association between dementia and concussions, usually not one concussion,
okay.
And especially concussions in sort of rapid sequence, one after the other. Like, let's say they threw you back into a game before you'd fully recovered from the last one. There's grave concerns about that.
Okay.
And if you look at Muhammad Ali and the sort of condition he's in, that's thought to be caused by thousands of little injuries below the skull from the trauma of being struck over and over again. There's concerns about that kind of injury in football players as well. But a single concussion, I mean, think how many millions of football players there are out there that get concussions.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be correlate with that much.
Okay.
There's people studying it, though, I'll tell you, and they're concerned about it. But the important thing is not to get another one.
Okay. All right, thanks.
I think we lost Tom. Okay, this is Callie.
Kale,
all right. What's going on?
When I was 18, I went down on my girlfriend, you know, and the next day I got mono. And now I have a really bad fear of going down on my girlfriend. And like,
this is the same girl that gave you the mono?
Yes.
Wow.
And like now it's just, you know, if I even try doing it, I get really sick to my stomach, you know. I don't even want to have an intimate relationship.
All right, hold on. She had mono, and then she gave it to you through you having oral contact with her?
Yes.
She had mono and didn't tell you?
No, she didn't even know.
Yeah, she didn't have it. You got it somewhere else. And for some reason, you now associate that with this whole intimate act, and you get all these crazy symptoms.
Yeah,
she did not give it to you. What makes you think she gave it to you? She has to have had it to give it to you.
Right.
She didn't give it to you. You, by the way, it takes about a week for it to come on.
Oh, does it?
Absolutely. It's not something you get the next day.
Okay.
So come on, relax. And what else going on? You have anxiety problems?
No.
Well, clearly you do, because you've got all these crazy ideas, and you very quickly sort of get phobic over something. Do you wash your hands a lot? Are you worried about your health and your body and that kind of thing? Very, very fastidiously.
Yeah, I actually do, yes.
Yeah. How many times a day do you wash your hands?
Anywhere from 10 to 12 times.
All right, so you're sort of in the obsessive-compulsive range. That's what this is about. You have sort of an OCD. And an OCD is not that big a deal for many people. It's something that can be used to your advantage, right? You study hard. You're very structured with your life. You can be places on time. But if you start to have mood problems or have crazy thoughts or have to go through crazy rituals in order to feel comfortable and not anxious, and you start convincing yourself of stuff like your girlfriend giving you diseases and so you can't be intimate, that's the time to look into it. Let's see here. We've got Jeff is 25. Jeff? Jeff, there you are.
Yeah, this is Jeff. I have a varicose vein on the side of my penis.
And you don't have a varicose vein. You mean you have a big vein?
Yeah, it's
The dorsal vein of the penis. Right, everyone's got one.
No, but it's to the right, and it bulges out abnormally, and it happened about 3 weeks ago. And
is it hard? Like, is it rock hard?
Sometimes it gets rock hard, but
no. Sometimes you can get a clot in these veins. Believe it or not, a clot can form in the vein of the penis, and then it will feel like a some sort of rope in there, like a real hard rope that's there all the time.
Yeah, but it's been there for like 3 weeks now, and it's not really going away. And I notice it bulges out when I urinate or if I masturbate or have sex.
No, yeah, this is the night of this is the OCD night. This is everyone preoccupied about nominal and insignificant health issues. Have a doctor look at it. If it's what I think you're describing, it's just a normal vein that you just finally noticed and you're obsessing about now. Now, guys can get a sudden clot forming in that dorsal vein, and that actually is kind of a serious thing. It can mean that there's maybe something wrong with your coagulation system. But what you're describing sounds completely normal, but I can't know for sure unless you have somebody look at it. Dax, 30. Dax?
Hello.
There you are. What's going on? Oh, in and out. I can't stand that. Matt, 18.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You mentioned you mentioned a couple weeks ago that you have pretty bad anxiety.
I guess I'm a little bit that way still, but I was really bad when I was in college.
Right, and you said that there's various ways of dealing with that very effectively.
Yeah, of course.
You didn't really go into detail about that, and I was wondering what that...
Well, initially, medication. They live in a time when the various kinds of anxiety and issues around anxiety can be managed rather... I sort of am resentful that somebody didn't offer me something like that when I was suffering in college. And there wasn't that much available when I was in college. Now we have... I think it was the point I was making is that now we have so many good treatments. I when you really are suffering with overwhelming panic and anxiety, you're paralyzed. It's hard to function. And if somebody could offer you some medication, at least transiently, at least briefly, can give you some relief, it would be, I mean, just... Oh, my God. The suffering that could have been avoided. Now, the long-term issue with anxiety is more about, you know, again, it depends on the individual, but the more about what I think primarily what I call competencies of self, the ability to sort of cope, the ability to regulate your feeling states, the ability to have sustained interpersonal intimacies, and those take longer to sort of sort out. And that's where therapy kicks in while you hopefully you get off your medication.
Right.
See how that would work?
Do you have any recommendations of what medication I might look into?
Depends what kind of anxiety you're having. What's happening?
It's mostly social anxiety.
The one that's been approved for that is Paxil.
Paxil?
Yeah, but do not. Listen, I'm talking to you for a minute and a half on the radio. Go see a psychiatrist. Get a proper evaluation. You need what's called a, you know, people have a very strange way of thinking about their mental health. This is your brain. Your brain has various ways of developing pathological syndrome, let's call them. They each have specific diagnostic criteria to know what you're dealing with. They each have a specific natural history and a specific treatment. So you can't know what you're treating until you can't get a treatment until you know exactly what you're dealing with. So
right.
You have to see somebody well-trained, competent, who can diagnose you. Okay? Not you diagnose yourself. They have to, not me in 2 minutes on the radio.
Right.
Somebody face-to-face, a psychiatrist needs to do that, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Matt. Good luck now. Okay, this looks interesting. This is Andy, 21.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
My boyfriend came on my stomach yesterday, and I let it sit on me for maybe no more than, 10 minutes.
Nice.
And, And got in the shower afterwards, rinsed off, came out, and you could see exactly. And, like, it had marked my skin. It wasn't raised or anything. It was just, like, a red.
All right. Okay, Andy, hold on 1 second. I know you're out there in that the horrible storm. I can hear that she's in Los Angeles. But hang on 1 second. We will get back to your call. We got to take a break. Be right back. All right, we're back to Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Corolla is stranded in Tampa. You heard his story at the opening of the show, his tale of woe where he was misled about the ISDN line. And God forbid that he could solve that problem on his own. No, not Mr. Corolla. Anything with wood, he'd take care of, no problem. Hinges? Great. In fact, I got a hinge problem. I'm going to talk to him about. But we were talking to Andy, who told me, she's 21, that she left some semen on her stomach, 10 minutes, went and took a shower, and lo and behold, the outline of the semen and the, I'm sure it was filled in too, was what, red?
It was.
Red. When did this happen?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Is it still red?
No, it's not. It only lasted for about maybe 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Some of it's a chemical irritation. Some of it can be an allergic reaction. I've heard of this complaint before. It doesn't usually mean anything. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't imply that you're necessarily going to have an allergic reaction to him if there's vaginal exposure. It doesn't imply there's anything wrong with him necessarily. It's just one of those things. Are you what we call atopic? Do you tend to have skin allergies and nasal allergies and that sort of thing?
No, not at all.
Never?
None.
Not especially. How's the weather out there?
Absolutely horrid.
It sounds like you're in a monsoon. Yeah, it's bad. This is in Los Angeles tonight. It's crazy. Has the lightning and thunder hit yet?
I can't believe I'm driving.
Oh, my. I was just talking to Ninja Chris here. I said, how much harder? I mean, if it rained just a little bit harder, we'd actually be swimming. You couldn't. There'd be no air left. The air would just be just water. And that'd be that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, Annie, is this a new boyfriend?
No, it's not, and it's never happened before. I've never let it sit on me for that long before.
I wish I could give you a specific explanation. It's obviously not something that people are necessarily going to study a lot because it's there's no real, but it has no implications. We need to worry. Don't need to worry about it. Okay.
Okay. Great.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye. Dave, 22.
Yes. I ate out a friend at work. She's a coworker.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Right, like as Adam would say, junior college.
What's that?
Okay, go ahead, keep going. Yes, you ate out a girl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean
finishing school probably. Yes, go ahead.
What kind of work? Is this?
I'm just wondering if there.
Chris has an interesting question. What kind of work do you do?
I do security.
And she another security guard?
Yeah.
Just sort of middle of the night, bored, and why don't we go down on each other, kind of thing?
No, it was this morning.
This morning. I beg your pardon. I was way off.
No,
okay,
no, when I was at work. But I'm just wondering if there's anything that I could take, just in case she had anything, like any disease, like, is there anything I could take, like, orally or an injection or anything that, just in case that I don't get anything that she has?
kind of heard something like today that she's kind of like dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there's something called Zithromax that we give for chlamydia prophylaxis, something called ceftriaxone or Rocephin we give for, although they're getting a lot of resistance to that now for gonorrhea. And we give that to people when they've been raped, so I guess it's something you could. They wouldn't recommend it unless you have symptoms. It's something that, you know, there's nothing specific you're likely to be at risk for with what you've done, but if you get any symptoms at all, I would certainly look into it at that point. Shauna, 23.
Yes, I haven't had my period for like a year, and every time I'm around women that are having periods, I start to bleed a little bit, but as soon as I'm out of that like household, I stop.
Nice.
And I was wondering if there could be, like, could I have ovarian cancer? I haven't been to OBGYN for like 3 years. Yeah.
Well, okay. A lot of questions here. Are you on medication?
No.
And did you have your regular periods before they stopped?
No, but they were irregular, but they were really heavy all the time.
Do you have irregular periods before they stopped?
Yeah.
Yes. That's the answer I was looking for.
But I was on birth control.
Not no, they're really regular, really heavy. Yes, they're irregular. And is that why they put you on birth control pill?
Yes.
And what did they put you on?
Ortho-tricycline.
And when did you stop that?
About 3 years ago.
Okay. And then your periods were irregular again after that, and then they stopped?
Actually, they were regular until about a year ago, and then they stopped. They just completely stopped.
Have you ever had ovarian cysts?
No.
Are you overweight?
Yes.
Okay. Well, women that are overweight will have very irregular periods. The adipose tissue, just like with men, will produce a lot of estrogen, and that causes you to not cycle normally. It sort of flattens out your cycles. So your doctor may have to put you on something to keep you cycling, or you may want to lose weight and get on a diet, do all those good things. So your body will sort of kick back into a healthier pattern. Dax, 30. Dax? Dax is gone. So Sarah, 20.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. How are you?
I am good.
Good.
I'm sort of relieved. I'm here. It's dry in here. I don't have Corolla's nasally drone. I'm looking at engineer Chris, who doesn't have just a puss on. He's actually smiling, looks relaxed.
Nice.
Yeah, you're relaxed. Normally, aren't you afraid he's going to come at you for something?
Right.
Yeah. All right, so what's happening?
My question is, I've been on lithium for bipolar disorder for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you know of any sexual side effects that would have?
Not typically. You know, any psychotropic medications can have sexual side effects. And certainly, if you must have been bipolar manic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're manic, you're kind of hypersexual. And when they bring you down with the lithium, people sort of miss those highs and sort of wonder, am I normal now? Tell me what your effects are.
I just kind of feel like no sex drive. I don't know if it has to make a difference. When I was diagnosed, I was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had ovarian cysts and endometriosis in the past. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's all related or...
That is all related. Are you on? What was the last thing?
Oh, I don't know if that's just my personality. But
yeah, are you on anything besides the lithium?
I take Boost Bar. Right around my period, I take a form of Boost Bar, like the week before, to help with depression.
Anything else?
No. And the lithium that I take is is a form of lithium. It's like Lithabid.
Lithabid. Yeah. All right. So the Boost Bar. And the Lithabid. Boost Bar can cause some sexual side effects.
Okay.
So that might be part of it. Maybe it's that you're more depressed than you really realize, and maybe that's part of it. And I guess it could be the lithium, though I certainly would be loath to encourage you to talk to your doctor about getting off that, because that's, if you can keep your bipolar stable on just lithium, it's a pretty good thing. I would talk to the doctor about the possibility that maybe you need a depression treated, and maybe the Boost Bar is causing some of these sexual side effects. This is Christina, 30.
Yeah, hi. My name is Christina. I'm 30.
Yeah, hey.
I have
What's happening?
Yeah. A couple, maybe. First, I want to say thank you for providing the service that you do to the public.
It's quite all right. We're quite happy to do
great.
It.
You really, I think you help a lot of people,
Christina.
If they aren't able to connect to you via telephone. It's difficult.
It is, but we hope that people sort of identify with some of the callers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. So my deal is about shaving and hairlessness and having a nice kind of hairless or like groomed pubic area.
Good times. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's nice for me. I like no hair.
Okay.
It's clean and nice, but occasionally you get the mutant ingrown hair.
The mutant ingrown, uh-huh.
I mean, like most of them aren't, so the one that is mutant.
I see.
Okay, and it's easier and less painful to shave.
Than what? Than
what? Wax?
Waxing. Is it waxing when you get...
Waxing is like they're gonna put wax on your head. You're going to have your head covered with this wax, and all your hair is going to be pulled. And
well, not your head.
No, everywhere. No, not even... no, it's like... It's not
all right, Christina.
No, it's not my head, okay?
Christina.
It's not.
Would you get the ingrowns only when you have the waxing?
No.
You get the ingrowns when you have the shaving, right?
Not tons of ingrowns, just like...
But it's from the shaving. It's from the shaving.
Right. Mutant ones. I go with grain.
All right. Well, you're going to get them from... You get them from shaving. That's correct. That's it.
Well,
if you don't want them, that's why you get the waxing.
Well, I don't want the waxing.
Well, then you get the ingrowns.
So I get the ingrowns.
Did you have other questions, Christina? You had something else?
No, that was it. What do you know about ingrown hair on your... Like, the rest of my shaving doesn't ever ingrow.
I know, but it will eventually. It always does in those parts of the body. And, hot towels, sometimes antibiotics if they really start to get pustular, but that's it. Tony, 19. Maybe the beautician may have some ideas, things you can do, but there really isn't much medically can be done. Tony, 19.
Hey, Dr. Drew, it's an honor talking to you. What's up, man?
My pleasure, Tony. What's going on?
I have herpes on my face, and I was wondering if you could tell me how I can make it less discreet or less
visible. Nice. Where do you have it?
It's in the bottom half of my lip, all the way to the left. You know where the crack is? Yeah, it's in that area.
All the way to what? Where to where? The bottom of your lip to your crack?
I'm sorry, man. I had a few drinks, but it's when I open my mouth, it's on the lower side to the left.
Oh, inside your mouth.
Yeah, and outside.
All right. How often you get them?
I've only had one breakout.
Are you sure? When did you have that?
The first week of November.
All right. Well, here's the deal. There are a ton of antiviral medications out there. Famvir, Acyclovir, Azovirax. Valtrex, those three medications are very effective for these outbreaks. At the first hint of the tingling you get on it, it can either abort the attack or shorten the duration of the attack, but that is all you can do. There are some people suggest also the topical agents. Some people will respond to the topical Zovirax, the ointment, and you can try that as well if you don't want to take the pills. This is Kate, 18.
Hi.
Hey.
There's, I have two little bumps on my hand. Like, if I slightly agitate it or touch it, they inflame, and it doesn't sting, it doesn't itch or anything like that, and I have no idea what's going on.
I'm having trouble visualizing this. You mean on either side?
Excuse me?
You mean on either side of it?
No, there's one on, just on one side, and it's a little bit longer, and then at the top, and I don't know what it is or what it came from, and then also I was meant to mention that my two inner lips, the lower part, they're very bumpy, almost like skin on a chicken type or a rooster, the little bumps.
Right. Well, that's normal. But sometimes you can get these glands that become inflamed, these little Bartholin's glands or cysts can form. And that's probably what you're describing. Are you overweight?
No.
What was that?
No.
No. And do you get sores or abscesses in your skin anywhere, or do you get infections easily, that sort of thing?
Actually, no, but my health has gone down quite a bit lately.
What does that mean?
I'm very susceptible to getting sick easily. I don't eat that healthy at all anymore.
How come?
I just kind of wanted to lose weight, and so when I do eat, it's not that healthy at all. And so,
are you vomiting?
Vitamins. Excuse me?
Are you vomiting?
No, definitely not. I'm just...
You're just starving.
Refusing. Yeah, I'm refusing to feed myself.
All right, well, there's a name for that, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that will affect your health, and that may be the whole story here. And you're sort of preoccupying about things that are kind of normal. I'm surprised that you're sort of that worried about the sort of the appearance of the labia and things. Those little bumps you're talking about towards the top of the vulva, maybe just some hot compresses, hot towels would take care of that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and they've Well, see, the thing is, I've just never had this before, and I'm not severely underweight. I'm actually a little bit over the weight.
I know, but there's no way you can describe to me what I need to hear in order to understand what this is. So if you're gonna figure it out, you're gonna have to have a doctor actually examine that, and that's fine. It's not a big deal to take a look at it. There may be antibiotics that can help with that, but I wouldn't be too upset. Well, you're not describing anything that you should be particularly alarmed about. Michelle, 23.
Hi. I have had a crush on my cousin for a couple of years, and he's a third cousin, and we.
What does that mean, third cousin? What do you mean by that, third cousin?
Okay. Well, his mother and my mother are first cousins.
Yeah.
So his mother and I are second cousins, which makes him my third cousin.
So he's the first cousin's child. Yeah. First cousin of your mom's child. Got it.
Yes. Okay. And
I always thought that was second cousin.
No, because if your mom and her first cousin are first cousins,
that's the second cousin. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay. Sorry. So you get it now.
I'm with you.
Awesome. Okay. So let's see. Last night he and I finally kind of talked about it, and it turned out we both have had a crush on each other.
Uh-oh.
You know, the whole time, and. Not that we really plan to pursue it at all, because we're both in relationships, and mostly our family would look down on it anyway, and I don't think we'd really work out together. But I kind of wondered, legally, what does the law say about third cousins?
I think the laws are only for first cousins.
Okay.
We looked into this once, and I think that's what we've discovered. And obviously, you want to have as much genetic diversity as possible, and so bringing the gene back around to meet again, even though there's only one cousin removed... pretty close, but that in and of itself shouldn't be your only barrier to engaging in this. The other thing is, think about the stability of your family overall and how weird it's going to be if this doesn't work out.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's another concern of ours, our family. But
we call it the Thanksgiving syndrome. I mean, what's Thanksgiving going to be like if you guys have been having sex?
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't be very good.
No.
Yeah, no. And I just kind of wondered. Besides my family and besides the legal issues, what is the society kind of generally, what's the temperature in society about third cousins?
Well, it depends what part of the country you're in, and I think different ethnicities and different cultures have different ideas about this.
Yeah.
But I think generally people would be a little uncomfortable with that. It's close to consanguinity. It's a little close. Michelle, what? You have another relationship. What's wrong with the guy you're with?
Oh, nothing wrong with the guy I'm with. And the problem is that I think it's a different issue, because not only do I have I have a crush on him, but then there's another third cousin I have a crush on that I just met. And I'm wondering if the problem isn't that, I just happened to have developed a crush on my cousin that I never grew up with. We just met a couple of years ago. It's just odd that I'm finding that I'm having crushes on these guys that I'm related to.
It is odd, but I bet you have crushes on lots of guys.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. How about you learn to sort of interpret your attractions? You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you this, for instance. Were you ever traumatized growing up?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you have?
Let's see. I was molested when I was 10 by a friend, and then 14 by a stranger.
All right, so there's all this sexual trauma and sexual abuse, and so boundaries are already going to be kind of a problem for you,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to be kind of porous. And every time, first of all, you're going to be attracted to guys that aren't such good guys. So anybody that you're attracted to, really, you're going to have to kind of stand back and really take a good look at them. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can kind of see that, but then it leads me to wonder, then there's the right guys, so am I not attracted to the right guys?
A, you're not attracted. You're not super attracted to the right guys. I'm sure there are some right guys out there you're kind of attracted to, but you're too busy with the highly arousing situations and these porous boundaries where everybody's a potential, sex act for you. No, calm down. Keep your boundaries intact. Keep your boundaries. You need to practice boundaries in your family, for God's sakes. These guys are just kind of, they're seeing you as somebody who's available, and they're on the move. Maintain. What? Yes, I'm sure of this.
No, because... One of them, he has no idea, and the other one, we've talked about it last night, and it's not like something he wants to pursue. It's something that
that just kind of happened to both of us because we just
It would make sense that that were the case if it weren't you I was talking to, but you're a trauma survivor. You have bad boundaries. Here's all I want you to do. Practice setting boundaries, at least in your family of origin. Set boundaries there. Say no to things. Don't act out on attractions. Study your impulses before you act on them, okay?
Okay.
Okay, don't do this in your family system. And then maybe start looking at your other relationships, too, and your other with your peers and things, and perhaps find ways that you can kind of refine your choices. I bet you'll be a much happier life if you learn to do that. Okay, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla back on his Zephyr tomorrow night. He's stuck in Tampa, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800. Oh, forget about that phone number. We're going to wrap up with these next few calls. Let's see. Let's talk to Richard, who is 28. Richard, oh. Beg your pardon. This technology is ahead of me. Richard.
Yep.
What's going on there?
Not much. Been with my wife for about 7 years. We've only been married about 6 months. Have an issue with stamina, a lack thereof.
How long are you good for?
Say that?
How long are you good for?
How long am I good for? It depends on the day, I guess. 3 minutes sometimes, maybe 5 minutes.
So no, 3 to 5.
She has never brought it up at all because I seem to do well everywhere else, so, and it's more of just kind of my own personal sort of thing, you know?
You know, some people define premature ejaculation as dissatisfaction by the partner, not by you. In other words, sure. By some standards, you wouldn't have premature ejaculation because she isn't concerned about it.
Sure.
And for many, does she orgasm with intercourse or with oral sex?
With both.
Both. And it's mostly because of your quick draw, it's mostly with oral sex with you guys?
Yes, for her, definitely. I would say that, for Adam's sake, taking the bullets out of the chamber and stuff like that works somewhat, and I have to do math in my head to keep my mind off it, but as soon as she makes any noise, of course, my attention is drawn to what's going on, and that doesn't help too much.
What about a couple bullets out of the chamber?
I don't know how long that would take. I guess I'd have to plan on it. I'd have to know that I was
right. Richard, that's actually the right way to think about this. It's like you're trying to solve a problem, and like any other physical issue, you got to learn how to work around it and work with it. And I'm not sure. You may find that if you're able to last longer, she may not like it. She may start saying, "Are you done yet?" Or she may be one of these women that likes oral sex a lot and is okay with 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever. I mean, go ahead and try to get it to lengthen out because it's something that makes you feel better. I know you'd rather go along for a little bit longer.
Sure.
But I wouldn't.
She never said anything about it, so it's just kind of, it's definitely something for me. And it's
I understand, and that's all right. But try doing the math again. I think that's the way to go about this. Michelle, are you there, Michelle?
Yes.
Michelle, hi. What's going on?
Okay, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm in Hollywood.
Yeah, what's up?
And I want to talk about a disappointment that I had in my life.
Okay.
And see what Dr. Drew thinks.
You're on the air right now. Let's go. What's happening?
Okay, I met somebody back in May on the internet. And
strike one.
He seemed to be the greatest guy in the world I ever met.
How did you meet?
It was through an internet site.
Internet dating service or just a chat room?
It was, not a dating service. It was actually a sex site.
Okay. Well, anybody that's trolling in a sex site already is a little suspect, right?
Exactly. That's what I thought. So it's already suspicious.
And by the way, nobody makes you feel better than a sociopath. That's how they get through life, by making people feel great about themselves and feel good about their relationship. But when it really push comes to shove, you don't exist. So they'll do whatever they got to do for themselves.
Okay, well, I had suspicions, and this person told me they were divorced for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went out for 8 months, and we got crazy wild, you know what, and basically, I was starting to get suspicious more and more because he wasn't answering the phone, whether it be the landline or the cell phone.
And to make a long story short?
to make a long story short, we were coming from the farmer's market in Hollywood, and I decided when the phone was ringing and he wouldn't answer it, I decided to call his bluff. And I told him, I went down to public records, and I know that you're not divorced. Now, I did not even in a million years.
Okay, the show ends in 40 seconds. You got to get to your question.
Okay.
My guy's a sociopath. The guy's a dog. He's married. He's lying to you. What's the question?
My question is, why is he putting a restraining order on me?
Probably to sort of keep you out of his life so he doesn't have to deal with the consequences of what he's done.
Exactly, because he's a dog, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, what are you going to do? You got this guy. This should be a case in point for anybody listening about trolling on sex lines or on the internet. This is the kind of thing that can happen.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened to you. I really am. But it sounds like you freaked out a little bit about this, that you sort of are drawn to chaos. Maybe just a nice, boring, quiet relationship would be a good thing for you. Not somebody that knows somebody, somebody that has a history. You know, when your friends have a history with somebody they know well, and kind of settle down with something kind of quiet. We unfortunately have to go to break right now. This is Loveline. Well, that does it for Loveline. This is Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla will be rejoining me tomorrow night. I think he'll be in, maybe in Charlotte tomorrow night, or still back in Tampa. He's going to be in the southeast somewhere. So I'm sure he'll be regaling us with more stories of mullets and the like. And in here in the studio tomorrow night, Debbie Gibson, a dear friend of the show. And she's in Playboy this month. And we look forward to seeing her. Later in the week, Jeff Probst, David Roos, Seth Green. A big week. Thanks, Ann. And this is, in the meantime, Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.